Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. You look in the world today and it's all in a mess. Well, we'll cover how God is going to straighten that out with the holy days that are up and coming. But God is doing something that this world has absolutely no clue as to what he's doing except those who have his Holy Spirit. And that is, he is preparing the rulers for when Christ returns to take over this world, the entire world. But in order for that to happen, we must be taught of God. We must be educated with his word. You look at the education in the world today, and what they are doing, they're graduating educated fools who know nothing. And they're charging him a great deal to do it. Now, the Apostle Peter told us that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, how are we to do that? Well, it all ends up on how God teaches us. Because even though there are teachers that God uses to teach, it's not the teacher who is doing the teaching. It is God who is doing the teaching, and we are learning of God. Now let's come here to John 6 and verse 45. Now this will tie in and be an extension of what we did with the mind of Christ. John 6 and verse 45. Now there can be many, many applications of this verse. Verse 45, John 6, and it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Well, the whole world's not being taught by God now. Adam and Eve rejected the teachings of God. The people before the flood rejected the teachings of God. After the flood, God dealt with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and Israel. And God gave them a full explanation of his teachings, but they didn't keep them. So what is this all referring to? Well, it's referring to those, verse 44, that will be raised up at the last day. So God is teaching us. Therefore, everyone who has heard from the Father and has learned. So we have to hear, we have to learn, we have to be taught. Comes to me. And no one has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. All right? Now let's take this just one step further. Let's put several scriptures together because this is how God wants us to learn. We know from Isaiah 28 that it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And also, we know that many of the verses have one, two, three, four, or more applications, not only to who it applies to, but also in time. So let's come here to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, and from there we will ask the question, how does God teach? If he is up in heaven and we're on this earth, how does he teach us? Psalm 32, and let's pick it up here in verse 8. Psalm 32 and verse 8. You said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you, my eye shall be upon you. All right, now let's analyze this just a little bit. Instruct and teach in the way that you will go, the way of God. I will counsel you. And of course, God counsels us directly from his word. So what we can say is this concerning the Bible, is that we have all the teachings of God for mankind in one book today, and that is the Bible. So we have combined with our textbook here, the Bible, how to live, what we need to learn, how God teaches us, how we need to react to him and everything. Okay? Now, let's continue right here in verse 9. So we're not to be carnal. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, unless I can use a 2x4 on you, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, or else they will not come near you. The wicked has many sorrows, but his steadfast love surrounds him who trusts in the Lord. So now there's a comparison in the world. And this comparison and divide becomes even more and more as time goes on. And down through time, there have been cycles of these things. And now in the last days, we don't know how everything is going to go. Everyone thought, oh, hooray, the Arab Spring. Unfortunately, it's filled with tornadoes and destruction. So that's why God said, no one knows the day or the hour. See? The wicked has many sorrows, but his steadfast love surrounds him who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Okay, God is going to teach us. Let's come now to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. We've been here before, but we need to put this in the record because this is important for us to understand. God is the one who teaches us, and as we will see, with his Spirit. But let's see what he wants to teach us. Now, many churches, especially the Christian churches in the world, they teach a lot of emotional things. They teach some things that are right, but they never teach you about the things of God. And the reason being is this. All the things of God are framework on the Sabbath and the holy days. Everything that he does is based on that. Now let's pick it up here in verse 7, 1 Corinthians 2. Rather, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now it's a mystery to the world. It's a mystery to the intellects, the elite, verse 7. Even the hidden wisdom that God foreordained before the ages unto our glory. So we are learning things that the world can never learn. That's why when you look at the news and you see all that's going on and you say, how come they don't know? Well, they've been blinded. God is not teaching them. Now, some of them may have certain principles of God. Some of them may be trying to do the things that are honest and good. But as far as what God is teaching his people, they don't have a clue. Because if you told some of these, even those who are trying to do good, that all the problems in the world are sourced in rejecting God. And any solution that you come up with that leaves out God is doomed to catastrophe. And there's a difference between failure and catastrophe. Failure can be repaired. Catastrophe is beyond repair. Verse 8, which not one of the rulers of this world has known. For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But why didn't they know? Because they're blinded. And always keep this in mind. There are degrees of spiritual blindness depending upon how people follow and obey how much of the Word of God. And without the Holy Spirit, there is no way that they can come to anything better than something that is a little higher quality than do it yourself, help you get better, discipline your life, programs that human beings have come up with. Be a little better. Now, I know there's one really good Protestant minister, and he does a lot of good preaching, but boy, when it comes right down to the Sabbath, it's like a high hurdle express. Whoop! See? And so even though he gives good advice, how to handle your emotions, what do you do when you're in distress and things like that, he never tells them about the Sabbath and the holy days, because he has rejected those. So it's hidden. Verse 9. But according as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now that tells us an awful lot when you look at this verse. See? You can't come to this knowledge any other way except God makes it possible. Has not entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those that love him. So only those that love him and obey him, and as we will see, have the Holy Spirit, understand what God is doing. Okay? Now, hold your place right here and come to Luke 24, because we'll come back. Because we will see an application of this, what we're talking about here, that Jesus himself did. And that's why it was necessary for him to show himself to his disciples for 40 days and 40 nights after his resurrection. Now, let's pick it up here. He comes in here, Luke 24, and after he is eating, verse 43, he appeared in their presence. He ate fish and honey. Verse 44. And he said to them, these are the words that I spoke to you when I was yet with you, that all the things which were written concerning me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. All right. This tells us something very important. How long was Jesus with the disciples teaching them? Over 3 years. But he even said to those on the way to Emmaus just a little before this, oh, hard-hearted, why don't you believe? Okay? Because this had not happened. Verse 45. Here is the key. Something must happen to our minds in relationship to the Word of God, and only God can do it. Jesus did this personally. Verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. See? God must do that, and we will see how he does it. Then he explains about everything concerning himself. Now I'll come back here to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And God does this, just like Jesus did with the disciples there, by revelation. Okay? Now, in the world, we're taught by mothers and fathers, by teachers, by self, by experience, by circumstances, and we can gain many things by that. But to understand the Word of God takes something else. For God to teach us, we need to know how he teaches us, the power that he gives to us, and that it all involves his Word. And the more that we study the Word of God, the more that we understand that it is layered in meaning and can have many applications from one verse. All right, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Now we're going to focus on the Spirit here as we go along. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men understands the things of man except by the Spirit of man which is in him? And he's speaking to the Greeks who, wisdom, understanding, all of those things, boy. In the same way also, the things of God no one understands except by the Spirit of God. Now remember what Jesus told the disciples on the last Passover night. He said that when the Holy Spirit comes, it will teach you all things. We'll see that in just a little bit. Okay. Verse 12. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world. Now what is the Spirit of the world? And where does that come from? That comes from Satan the devil, who's the prince of the power of the air. That spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. That's the spirit of the world. And the spirit of the world rejects the Word of God and the Sabbath and the holy days. Now, Protestants will tell you, as long as you have Jesus, you're just fine. Well, what about the things in the Old Testament? Well, you don't have to worry about the things in the Old Testament. That's all been fulfilled. See? There's a blindness. Only God can remove the blindness by opening our minds as Jesus did. Now, the reason that we can understand is because, continuing right here in verse 12, but the Spirit that is of God, so that we might understand the things graciously given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit, in order to communicate spiritual things by spiritual means. All right? But the natural man, one without the Spirit of God, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot. Now, that's an interesting word in the Greek. It means it's oudunitai. He does not have the power to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. All right, let's look at some other things concerning how God teaches us. All right, let's come to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. And it's quite interesting how many of these things are in the Psalms, too. We're going to visit quite a few Psalms in this sermon. Psalm 92 and verse 4. Psalm 92 and verse 4. What are some of the deep things of God? Well, prophecy, for one. The love of God, number two. The hope of God, number three. And the list could go on and on and on. See, and also the secret way that God teaches his people. Now, this becomes very, very important for anyone who is a teacher or minister, because he is bound by God, as it says there in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. And it means diligently do that. So every minister, every teacher must constantly apply himself to the Word of God and using the Spirit of God to teach the people of God, because Jesus said, feed my sheep. And if you continually just give them pablum, they're never going to learn. All right. Psalm 92 and verse 4. Verse 4. For you, Lord, have made me glad with your work. I will exult in the works of your hands. Now that's interesting, because when we see what God has made and created, and it's evidenced in everything that there is, down to the smallest thing possible, and yet we have those evolutionists who reject God. Notice, verse 5. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. And God wants us to understand the deep things of God. And that's why it's also called the mystery of God, because how is God going to do with us as human beings to change us from being carnal-minded, desperately wicked, and deceitful, into that which is loving and true and kind and righteous? Now that's a great mystery, isn't it? Yes, indeed. All right. Let's go on here, okay? Let's come to Psalm 119, since we're in the book of Psalms. Psalm 119. Now let's pick it up here in verse 18. Now, I suggest anyone who has never really read through Psalm 119, every verse, to think about it, to analyze it, to break it down and put it together, okay? Psalm 119 and verse 18. Verse 18. Open my eyes. That's the eyes of your mind. That's what Jesus did with the disciples. So that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Meaning there are a lot of deep things of God contained in the law of God, the prophets of God, and the Psalms, and the Gospels, and all the way through the New Testament, general epistles, epistles of Paul, the book of Revelation. And if there's one book that is deep and hard to understand, that is the book of Revelation. But nevertheless, he wants us to know. He wants us to understand. All right. Now, come back here to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Okay. Stop at Psalm 95 for just a minute. Okay. Psalm 95. Now, let's just apply this line upon line, precept upon precept, understanding the deep things of God. You read Psalm 95, you can discern out of it that it is a Sabbath psalm. But when you read the Sabbath commandment, it says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and all things that are in them, etc. Okay? Now, this psalm, when we look at it from that point of view, first of all, he is stating the creation of God. Okay? And that he is God. Let's read it. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. That's for everybody who can't sing. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the peaks of the mountains are his, are also his. Okay? I was thinking that sometime back I was watching a special on the earth, and it was showing about the ocean, then it was showing about the mountains, and it was going across the top of the peaks of the Rocky Mountains that are just standing up like this, and I thought, oh, how did that get that way? Because you can tell it was once flat, and now it's up like this. God did it. Verse 5, the sea is his, and he made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. When do we come and worship God as a group? On the Sabbath. How do we worship God? By loving him and by learning from him. And that's how the real worship of God is. Then we apply it in our lives. So everything we do is reflecting of God's way. Let us kneel down before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture. And what did Christ tell Peter? Feed my sheep. Okay? Just put in your margin right there, Ezekiel 34, where it talks about the false teachers and the terrible pasture that they give those that they are serving. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, now it enters into the Sabbath. Today, if you will but hearken to his voice, harden not your heart as in the rebellion, as in the day of temptation and in the wilderness, when our fathers tempted me, tried me, even though they saw my works. 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways, to whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. All right, now this tells us a lot of things, right? In keeping the Sabbath the way that God wants, with a willing heart and attitude, God can teach you. And he wants you to know. Okay, now turn over here to Psalm 94, and verse 11. Psalm 94 and verse 11. Now look what he's dealing with, okay? Let's go back here, okay, verse 8. Psalm 94 and verse 8. Understand, you brutish ones among the people, when they said, well, who knows? God doesn't know. And you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who chastens the nation, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, shall he not know? because he made us to learn. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Now think about this. God is taking the vanity, converting it, adding to it his spirit, and giving the mind of Christ. Now that's a great mystery, isn't it? Just like a lot of people cannot understand why God doesn't intervene to stop things. And they read, like in Matthew 13, that he has blinded them so that they would not be converted. Now, why did God do that? Because he doesn't want to lose any. Just like it says to the Laodiceans, that would you were hot or cold. He'd rather have them cold and unconverted, live their lives and not commit the unpardonable sin, so that in the second resurrection, and you talk about a fantastic thing that that's going to be, they may be converted. So you see how the Word of God just is tremendous when it's all put together. All right, let's continue here. Verse 12, blessed is the man whom you chastise, and we see that in Hebrews 11. O Lord, teach him out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of trouble until the pit is dug for the wicked. All right. Let's continue to build this up and see more things here that we need to concerning learning and so forth. Now, Jesus came to teach. Let's come to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. First thing he did after he recovered from the temptation with Satan the devil, Matthew the 4th chapter, what did he do? Well, now he was going out and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And what was he doing? He was beginning to what, as we see here? Teach the people. Matthew 4 and verse 23. And Jesus went throughout all Galilee. Okay? Now that's after he chose his disciples. Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every bodily ailment among the people. Now, the people thought that was fantastic, but they didn't understand. Okay? Now, come over here to chapter 5, and let's see something very important. Everything that Jesus did was to demonstrate the power of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and to teach. Matthew 5, verse 1. But seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Now, we've already covered these in the short series we did on the mind of Christ. All of the Beatitudes are necessary for you to really learn concerning the deep things of God. Okay? He taught them. So Jesus is continually teaching all the time. All right, now, let's see how God teaches. We know, I won't go through it here, but you can write down these scriptures. I'll just give them to you. Luke 1:35, it is the power of the highest, the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:20, Mary was with child, with the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. There it is called the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and verse 8. That power only comes from God the Father. Now, let's put it together with how the Holy Spirit works. We are led of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to find some scriptures here in John, the 14th chapter, and let's see, because this becomes very important, because when we go to God and we ask God to teach us, he's going to teach us in many different ways with many different things concerning many different situations, and it is a lifelong thing, however we live after we're converted until we are put in the grave to wait the resurrection. John 14, John 14 and verse 26. Here we go. Verse 26. But when the Comforter comes, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, that one will teach you all things, because it comes from God. And it shall bring to your remembrance everything that I have told you. Now just turn the page and come over here to John 16. John 16 in verse 12. Now how is God going to do this? See, God is in heaven, we're on the earth. The world is blinded by Satan the devil, deceived by Satan the devil. So how is God going to carry on his work on the earth with those that he's called and converted? All right. Let's see right here, verse 12. Now, we've received many of these things already in the Word of God. Verse 12, I have yet many things to tell you, but you are not able to bear them now. However, when that one has come, even the Spirit of the truth, it will lead you into all truth. And there's never been a time when we've had the opportunity to do it, except in the days in which we're living now. Hasn't been done in the past. And this is why God gets so upset with Laodiceans. The whole Word of God is here. The Spirit of God is available. But what happens? They yield themselves to their own inclinations of human nature, and they become lukewarm. So he corrects them and says, be zealous, okay? Lead you into all truth, because it shall not speak from itself. Now, if, stop and think for a minute, if the Holy Spirit were a person, then he would what? Speak from itself, okay? But whatever it shall hear, it shall speak, and it shall disclose to you the things to come. That one shall glorify me, because it shall disclose to you the things it receives from me. Now, how does that work? Well, I think we can understand it today. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. God's Spirit can come and be with us while we're learning, while God is calling us. And after we're baptized and receive the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands, it's a begettle in our minds. And then God really teaches us through prayer, study, living, experience, changing, overcoming, and especially our battles against human nature and Satan the devil. Now then, let's see what else it will do when there's time of trouble and difficulty. Let's come back here to Luke, the 12th chapter. No, Matthew 10. Luke 12 is a parallel account. Matthew 10. Let's pick it up here in verse 16. Matthew 10, verse 16. Here he is instructing his disciples. And of course, these things are going to carry down clear to our day. Verse 16. Behold, I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's what it's going to become like. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we can learn a lot of things from that. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Now, this happened directly with the disciples, didn't it? Yes, indeed. They were even brought to the Sanhedrin no less than twice, and with Stephen three times, and then with Paul, what? Three times as well. So they knew. What did they do to Paul when they found him in the temple? Boy, you know the account. They seized him, and the Roman centurion and the Roman soldiers had to rescue him, okay? Verse 18, and you shall also be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a witness to them and to the Gentiles. Now, when they deliver you up, do not be anxious about how or what you should speak, because you're to be in training right now before it happens, so you will know. And notice what God is going to do. For in that hour it shall be given to you what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaks in you. So that's the power of God's Spirit. Okay? That's what he uses to teach us. Now, let's come to Psalm 25. Now, Psalm 25 is a fantastic psalm because it's all about God teaching. Okay. Now, Psalm 25 is a tremendous psalm because it tells us so much about how we are taught and how God will deal with us. And, of course, remember everything that we've covered with the Holy Spirit. Verse 1, to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Now that ties in with what commandment? What is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, right? Okay. So as we go through, we're going to analyze this and see how all of the Word of God applies so greatly in this. O my God, I trust in you. Do not let me be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. See, because in order for God to be on our side, we have to be on his side. Remember what Moses said after the incident with the golden calf? He said, all of those on the Lord's side, get over here. And all of those who were not on the Lord's side, the earth opened up, and that took care of them. Verse 3. Yea, let none who wait on you be ashamed. Now, this is before God, see. As far as the world is concerned, really doesn't matter. Let them be ashamed who deal treacherously without a cause, or without cause. Okay, now, what we're going to do is take a little break here, and we'll be back because we want to go through this in detail.